And here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. And welcome to the Late Night Hype. My name is Pedro Reyes, and right now on the phone with us, we've got Carlos from Puente Project out in Arizona. He's going to be telling us a little bit about the hunger strike that's going on there. Fast for families who are being deported and, you know, caught up in this anti-immigration sentiment that's going across the nation. So they're standing up and using their bodies and putting their bodies on the front line. So he's going to be telling us a little bit about what's happening out there in Arizona. Welcome to the show, Carlos. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Right on, man. Just go ahead and tell us a little bit about what's happening with the hunger strike out there in Arizona.
Yeah, so today we just completed the 9th day of the hunger strike. We've been outside of the ICE building, the Central ICE building in Phoenix, for 9 days now. We've been camping out here. Six courageous families have been on hunger strike. And it's not only the people out here that are on hunger strike, but it's also the people inside detention. So the family members are out here doing the hunger strike in front of ICE, asking for their family members to be released. But those that are inside the Eloy Detention Center are also on hunger strike. And the majority of them have also been put in solitary confinement for being part of hunger strike. And they're being threatened with this hurting their cases or them maybe being moved. They've been told that they're going to move them to Texas or Florida. So it's been inspiring to see not only the families, the moms and the fathers and the wives that are doing the hunger strike out here, but also the solidarity inside with the people doing the hunger strike there.
And tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the family members who are on the hunger strike. Why are they on the strike on putting their bodies on the line?
Yeah, so the person that called for this was Anselma. She's a 63-year-old woman who's been here. She's from Guatemala. And her son, Alder, he's been in detention for almost 3 years now. He was actually detained for working under somebody else's Social Security and then originally deported to Mexico, even though he's from Guatemala. So they're using this against him, and he's now been in detention for over 2 years, getting near 3 years. And so he had lost, and then the judge had ordered him deported. And the mother, Anselma, said, you know what? I'm going to try to do the last thing. I want to be able to say I did everything to keep my son here. She's left taking care of her two grandchildren who Elder hasn't seen. The youngest boy is 4, you know, stopped seeing his dad when he was 1. And so she's been torn by seeing her grandkids grow up without their dad. So she said she wanted to do this hunger strike. And then 5 other families joined, you know, families like Lourdes was out here, her husband Jose is in there. He was arrested for a DUI and now been in there for a year with 4 kids. Lourdes is also taking that risk, and her bringing her youngest child of 3, he's been spending the night and staying here in front of ICE. So it's something that's definitely centered around the families that are going through this pain, and I think that's what we want to do is expose the human cost. But it's not about politics, it's not about money, it's not about these different things. It's about the family members that are going through this. And even if some of those family members have, you know, made a mistake and may have some criminal charges, it's still not right to deport them and keep them away from their kids and the community that they have here in Phoenix.
That's right, you know, and talking about, you know, the fasting and, you know, this is kind of like the second one now that we've seen. I know there was one in Washington where they were also doing fast for families out there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw one there, and I think this is the second part to it. I think the one we saw in Washington, D.C. was still geared with this idea that there was a possibility for immigration reform or people were putting their lines on for some sort of solution. I think here in Arizona, the reality is that we can't wait for that, and this immigration reform looks further and further than we've ever seen it. So this one's more centered around the families and stopping the deportations. It's, you know, I think this one's a fast by the families, the same families that are being affected by this. So I think it's a tactic that's been used before, but it's a tactic that really illustrates the pain that's being caused. And it's also going in with it as a prayer. And I think different people have different ways of praying, but I think this brings the whole community together, and it's like one big prayer, not only to stop those individual cases we're fighting, but to stop deportations all over the country.
That's right. And, you know, there's also folks that are locking themselves up in front of ICE buses. And I know Arizona has had a share of, you know, folks out there standing up against these ICE buses as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. It's part of the community, the people taking the power by themselves. You know, there's, in the absence of immigration reform, in President Obama breaking deportation numbers, I think the community needs to resort to these tactics to expose what's going on, but also just literally stop the deportations ourselves. It means getting in front of a bus and shutting down an ICE station, whatever it is. I mean, I think it's what the people are willing to do at this point, and no longer waiting for businesses or whoever is pushing for immigration reform to decide. I think this is now turning where the people have to stand up for themselves.
That's right, you know, because, again, President Obama likes to claim that, you know, you got to push them. You got to, you know, let them know you're there, or bring the issue to the table as much as you can. And basically, he can only do so much after that, right? But the reality is that, you know, there's youth out there that are putting their bodies on the line. There's family members that are putting their bodies on the line. Literally thousands of people across the nation protesting against these types of anti-immigrant sentiments. And he still hasn't done nothing. He said he was going to fix the issue in December 12, 2013, I mean, you know. And unfortunately, nothing has changed, right?
Yeah, nothing has changed. And we're nearing, I think we're expecting this March or around the middle of March to reach 2 million deportations. That's 2 million individuals being deported, but that's 2 million families, too many communities that are being affected. I mean, that if that number doesn't shock people into wanting to do something, I don't know what will. But for us, you know, one deportation is a deportation too much. So once you start talking about millions of families being separated, I think there's got to be a point where they have to shift what's going on.
And, you know, one shift that has definitely happened was that now Jeanette Napolitano, who used to be in the Arizona folks and governor, right? You know, now she's the UC president over here. And we're seeing a big fight starting against the banning of ethnic studies, just like what happened in Arizona as well. You know, and the other thing is that, you know, we talk about Obama deporting 2 million people. But that was the person, Jeanette Napolitano, who was in charge of Homeland Security to deport these people. So she was actually the person that made it possible for Obama to have 200 million people under his belt.
Yeah, I mean, her being the governor of Arizona, she knew exactly how to get rid of our people and deport our people and make our lives miserable so we would self-deport. She took that, and when we talk about Arizonification of the country, that's exactly what she did. SB 1070 in Arizona was transferred all over the country with the program Secure Communities, and that's what Jeanette Napolitano went to go implement. So the fact that she's now able to go and take a job, I don't know how much she gets paid, but that taxpayers continue to pay her after her being the person that's destroyed so many families, how is she going to be the person that's taking care of all the universities in California when, you know, a lot of those students attending those universities may not be able to be with their parents or with their siblings or with their family members because they were deported by this person. I think it's outrageous that she's there. Her record shows in Arizona she was the first governor ever to put the troops on the border. She was the first governor to lobby for Joe Arpaio to get his 287G agreement. She was good friends with Arpaio, and we've known what he's done in Arizona. So, I mean, it's definitely, I think it's good to see that people are standing up, but I hope the community in California really stands up and gets rid of Jeanette Napolitano.
That's right, you know, and then the other thing is, too, that, you know, like most Raza out there in Arizona is being affected, too, by the ban of ethnic studies as well, in that sense that they're not being sort of acknowledged as part of this country's history, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've always said is that they're trying to get rid of our people, and the easiest way to get rid of people is with people that aren't rooted. So they know that our roots are strong, and they know if youth and if people don't continue to learn what this country has done to this land, to indigenous people, to the migrants, and the reasons why people are migrating, and the history of ourselves. I think we then don't have those roots. So I think it's part of this whole attrition process that Janet Napolitano helped start here and has continued, where it's not only physically trapping people and deporting them, but it's also this attrition making our lives so miserable that we will self-deport. And I think us not learning our history is part of that. They're wanting to make us weaker so that we do self-deport, or that we don't stand up for each other or learn how previous struggles have fought to win rights, and maybe we do the same thing.
And you know, going back to Obama in that sense, you know, like him having that credit of deporting 2 million people, it does go under his belt because he's actually the chief in command or deporter in command. And so he could actually, with the wave of a finger, give thousands and millions of folks, amnesty, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that was done for the students with the deferred action program that he could do for the rest of our families. He could at least guarantee that he won't deport our people and allow our people to come out, you know, be able to work and be able to fight for maybe a further immigration reform or immigration reform that doesn't include border militarization or continuing criminalization of our community. So I think what we've seen happen to the students, to the Dreamers, is that now that they've been given deferred action, now they're able to come out and fight and speak for themselves. And, you know, the world didn't end when the Dreamers got their deferred action. I think the same, on the contrary, people started working, people started feeling better about themselves. I think the exact same thing would happen if we allow our communities to be present here, to be able to get a job and to be able to function in the society without the fear of being deported or being separated from their family every day.
That's right. And one of the things I would like to connect with this is the fact that you're talking about a mother who might be undocumented, might not be, but the reality comes down to that she was able to raise her kids here. She was able to give her kids an education. And unfortunately, because they were trying to, work in this society where they have to work, and the reality came down to the fact that, you know, that was the only crime they were committing, was trying to get work through a number, so to speak, that wasn't supposed to be there. So it wasn't a violent crime or anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. It's just that, you know, you have these families who are undocumented. And Selma is, you know, saying she's undocumented to the media, saying, you know, I came here 20 years ago, brought my son at an early age. He graduated high school here. He ended up getting into a situation where he had to work with another identification, and now he can't be with his children. So, I mean, I think that that's the powerfulness of seeing people, and I think people are often criminalized, and those others don't realize that people are being targeted. And it's something, it's also a further conversation, and I think our African-American brothers and sisters know this, that citizenship or documents doesn't mean much, that our communities are both targeted, you know, with the school-to-prison pipeline, and our communities being targeted by police officers, being shot, being harassed. That's something that just happens to our communities. So you add that to somebody being undocumented, plus a system that's pushing people towards prison, this is the results we have. So instead of spending money on education or resources or being able to help the community out, they're spending more money on police and immigration.
And, you know, again, going back to the Dreamers real quick, because, again, we see that because the Dreamers, like you were saying, were able to get the deferred action, you know, they were able to continue their education that their parents were able to help them be able to get. And now we see that for some reason they don't want to legalize the parents, even just of the Dreamers, you know, which is the most important, component of being able to have a successful education, because, you know, someone's there to support you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're seeing now. It's like, you know, a Dreamer could be giving a work permit, or they could be giving documents to be here, but if their parents are still at risk or their parents are going to be deported, their life still is in turmoil, their life isn't set. So I think there's again, we can't select, you know, some of you stay here, some of you leave. I think it's if you're going to start beginning a process where people can stay here, people that have contributed, you need to include everyone. You can't just include certain people.
All right, Carlos. Well, once again, thank you very much for being with us right here and for helping us to get more information out of Arizona. Just wanted to make sure folks are informed that there is a hunger strike happening out in Arizona, which is called Fast for Families. Where can folks get more information?
They can go on our website, which is puenteaz.org. And we're constantly updating. Also, look for us on Facebook as the Puente Human Rights Movement. And we're putting constant updates of how the families are doing and how the police might be harassing us and how the folks in detention are also doing. So please check us out. Again, Puente Human Rights Movement on Facebook and Twitter. Or you could just go on our website, which is puenteaz.org.
And one last thing, today you guys were visited by the police. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so even though we are camping out here, we've been here now for 9 days, the police came today and started threatening people about us trespassing on federal property. This property, again, is an institution that's separating our families, and they're not giving us, at this point, saying that there is no space where we could protest it. I think it's a First Amendment right to be able to have a place to protest, especially a federal institution that's separating our families. So I think we're going to have to deal with that tomorrow. Today they came and gave us a warning, said they were trespassing, attempted to arrest some of the people, but we were able to get a bunch of people out here, the media, and they backed off. But we're definitely, we know we're going to sleep here tonight. And be prepared. You know, we don't know if they're going to come tonight or when they're going to come, but we'll be ready. The families are strong. They know why they're doing this. They want to stop deportations, and we're going to continue to fight.
Word. And once again, that's puenteaz.org, puenteaz.org. And right now we're going to go back to the City Hall meeting right here that's happening in Berkeley locally. Once again, thank you for listening. My name is Pedro Reyes, and we are right here, just bringing you a late night hype report.
Shattuck Avenue, which was a tremendous loss, and it's